It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Alexa Kambelik, who's with the American Soybean Association. So good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks.
Okay. Director of Government Affairs, American Soybean Association. So when we say government affairs, anybody within kind of the D.C. area knows what that means, but not everybody does. What's that mean?
It means that we are the primary advocates for soybean issues here in Washington, D.C., both with members of Congress and the administration. So all of the federal agencies, the White House, and everyone from your representative, your senator, and all the way to the president.
Okay, a little background about you. Did you grow up in ag? How did you end up with the American Soybean Association?
Well, it's not really the typical soybean story, I don't think. I grew up in Connecticut. I was a city kid, that's for sure, but worked for a long time for members of Congress from Connecticut. And while we don't think of Connecticut as traditionally an agriculture state, there is a variety of different agriculture there. And so was exposed to that, but also exposed to a lot of things related to infrastructure, transportation, and all of the things needed to move agriculture from farm to market. And so after 11 years on the Hill, I ended up here at the American Soybean Association.
One of the things we've been eagerly waiting for, anticipating, is something from EPA, part of the Renewable Fuel Standard, and the RVO. Renewable volume obligations. I know there's more to it than just that. I'm kind of simplifying. But those numbers, are we expecting those anytime soon? And if so, do we have any expectations, any projections?
Well, I think it's always a big mystery what we're going to see in a final rule, but certainly it's been a long wait. We saw the draft rule for the 2023 to 2025 volume years from the EPA back in December, and this is setting the volumes for renewable fuels through the next several years, right? And so it will sort of dictate where the market is going. We thought we were going to see that rule on Wednesday, June 14th, and that was not the case. We got a one-week delay, and so we are eagerly awaiting what's going to be in that final rule. I will say that draft rule had very, very low increases in volumes for biomass-based diesel and advanced biofuels, which was really disappointing to ASA and to others in this space. It was about 10% of what the Energy Information Administration anticipates the demand to be over the next 3 years. And so after 2 years where EPA set the highest volumes ever in 2021 and 2022, we sort of thought this was going in the same direction and were surprised when those volumes were so low. So we provided them with all of the information that we had, whether that was information about planting and yields and increased crush capacity and all of the things that the industry is investing in. With all of that, we're hopeful that EPA recognizes that there is a demand for more and that their work is going to help move this market in the right direction. So we may not see that level where we would like to see it. We had, as an industry, had requested a 500 million gallon increase every year, which is lower than what the demand is estimated to be. But we're hoping to move the needle in the right direction. And so I guess all eyes are on Wednesday to see what will happen.
So I'm glad you explained that. But I have to admit, my mind's just racing off on the future of bio-based fuels. There seems to be a buzz in other areas of the administration. Is that positive for the industry?
You know, I think it is. And that was one of the reasons we thought we would see higher volumes. You have the president who issued the Sustainable Aviation Fuel, or SAF, Grand Challenge to work to decarbonize the aviation sector. That's something that the biodiesel and other renewable fuels industries are extremely interested in. It is certainly going to be be, you know, the fuel for the future in airlines. I don't think we're going to see battery-powered airplanes anytime soon. But additionally, we see that there is going to be a huge increase in demand for locomotives, for heavy-duty trucks, for other things. And, you know, with that, we're also seeing the administration looking not only at new markets for these fuels, but new ways to get those fuels to market. The last two administrations have worked hard with the Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program, which is housed over at the USDA. And that program provides grants to different entities that are looking to distribute biofuels in a way to get them to consumers faster. Here in the DMV area, the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, the farmers out here who are growing soybeans would love to be using biodiesel as much as their counterparts in the Midwest on their farms to sort of have that full circle sustainability story of soybeans. And it's really difficult to get it out here. Depending on where you are, it might be, you know, nearly impossible for someone to find biodiesel available for sale, you know, within a 20-mile radius of them. So programs like this help get that infrastructure out here. And every time grants are released, they are eaten up right away. There is not a dollar left. And so we know this program is working. We know that it's highly desirable, and we're looking forward to seeing that continue.
Okay, so I'm also kind of wondering, and we've seen some changes come down from the administration on basically incentives to improve fuel efficiency. But when we start talking about really some heavy equipment here, and for some reason the number three comes, and now I can't, tier, the third tier, and help me out here, but these large vehicles, is the administration working on some numbers for those as well?
They are. And so we are currently working through the rulemaking process of the EPA's heavy duty phase three rule. You have
phase
that three, right?
Three.
And this is the third iteration of emissions rules for heavy duty vehicles. So these are the tractor trailers that we see on the highways all the time. And the first two sets of these rules have already been finalized, and they were setting sort of a tiered down approach of emissions reductions over the next several years for new model years of cabs for trucks. And so this new rule is looking at model years 2027 through 2032 and looking at ways where either new technologies can be adopted to lower those emissions, or you know, there can be other ways to have some reductions there. And I think you know, ASA is really supportive of finding cleaner and greener ways to move our soybeans from point A to point B. And we think we do have the solution with biodiesel and renewable diesel. These are lower carbon fuels, drop-in fuels that can be used in vehicles on the road today that are lowering emissions. Biodiesel, a 20% blend of biodiesel can reduce carbon emissions pretty significantly compared to traditional petroleum diesel in trucks today. And so we want to make sure that message is heard loud and clear. Over at the EPA, we don't want to see a transition to, you know, technologies that fully remove that internal combustion engine. We think there will be a slow adoption rate of that. We think that there's going to be a little less trust in that in rural areas where you don't have the charging infrastructure for electric. We don't really know what, you know, a hydrogen vehicle might be like or something like that. So we do have a tried and true technology that works today, and we just want to make sure that the administration is aware of that as they're considering how aggressively they're going to be lowering those emissions standards. And so there's a couple of different alternatives that they've proposed. One would lead to approximately a 25% electric vehicle heavy-duty truck fleet by 2032 in the new make of trucks. Another one would be all the way up at about 35 or 36%. So if they're going to do anything, we hope they scale it up slower, give folks time to adopt. But we think that we have the solution today to lower those emissions. And in addition to that, I'll just share that trucks are expensive. New trucks are expensive. And new technology is probably even more expensive, and it's heavier. So when you think about hauling soybeans, we're not just thinking about the fuel that's moving them, but we're thinking about the weight of that truck and you know, how many trips they're going to have to take and how long it's going to take to charge it up. And we want to make sure that our farmers have the most efficient, most cost-effective way to move those beans to market. I think almost every soybean spends at least 20 miles in a truck. So it matters to everyone, and certainly for some more than others, but it's going to be extremely important how this rule turns out for us.
Now, earlier you mentioned something being housed over at USDA, and that really gets us thinking about the Farm Bill and 12 titles within that Farm Bill. One of them's an energy title. Are you watching that?
I am. And yeah, I think it's some of the lesser known programs within the Farm Bill, but the energy title is certainly one of great importance to the biofuels industry and to ASA. And so there's a number of programs we're watching there. And in fact, the USDA program I mentioned is currently not a Farm Bill program. And we would love to see it become one. It's already funded. We just wanted to have a home so it has a long-term future. And so one of our goals is to get that program included in the energy title of the Farm Bill. That's, again, the Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program. There's a couple of other programs, an advanced biofuels payment program for some of the smaller refiners in the Midwest that they utilize with getting quarterly payments from USDA. It helps them to ensure that they can keep their businesses running with the ebbs and flows of the price of soybean oil, with some of these wild events we've seen recently, like COVID, right, where you might need to shut down for a few months. And so it provides some certainty to those businesses. It's a relatively small program. I believe it's $7 million a year, which in the grand scheme of things, when you think of the Farm Bill, it's a drop in the bucket. So we hope to see a straight extension of that program. But I'll mention one more, and that is the BioPreferred program. So this is sort of outside of the energy space, but the BioPreferred program is that program that sort of identifies products that are made from a bio-based feedstock, right? So there's over 1,000 products that can be made with soybeans that are available today. And this program helps market them. It helps incentivize the government to procure those products over maybe some traditional products that are using non-bio feedstocks to produce. And we think of this as anything from tires to golf balls to sealants you can use on roads and bridges. So it's a really important program, and we hope to see that continued. It's been around for 20 years, not one that many people know about, and we hope that changes through the life of the next Farm Bill.
Well, I hate to say it, but I know where quite a few of my golf balls are, but I don't know that they can be used for anything else. They're in a lot of mud, I'm pretty sure. This is so exciting, and we don't think about this so often, but how it ties back into ag and to soybeans. We want to keep up with the work you're doing with ASA. Can we find that online?
Sure, yeah. Soygrowers.com is the place to go. That is where you can find all of the things that we're working on here in D.C. In terms of advocacy for American soybean farmers.
And where do you get your marching orders? Do you sit back and just go, this is what Alexa thinks we ought to do today? Or does that come from growers?
Our work is 100% farmer-driven. We go to them with everything that we think about endorsing or signing on to or any work that we're doing. We go and we ask our farmers on our board of directors, what do they think? And that is how we move forward with policy here. It's a great way to work and a great way to know that you're doing the right thing for American farmers.
Alexa, great to see you. Thanks for your time, for the work you're doing.
Great, thank you.
Alexa Kambelik is the Director of Government Affairs with the American Soybean Association, ASA, in Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James, and this is the Agribusiness Report.